Glad to have everybody. Glad to have you that are watching on Rhema.tv or on the Rhema app. Just join right in, and we're going to look at the Word of God. And you know, this is the last Sunday night service of our Rhema Bible Church 30th anniversary celebration month. And throughout this month, we've looked back at the goodness and faithfulness of God. And you know, I think as we've looked back, we realize this: He hasn't brought us this far to leave us now. Our future is bright. Hallelujah. And what has happened in the past is the foundation for what's going to take place in the future. You know, Pastor Hagin reminded us today that the package has changed over the years and will change as needed, but one thing has remained and will remain unchanged. Rhema Bible Church will always stand as a light that proclaims Jesus saves, Jesus heals, and Jesus is coming again. Glory to God. And thank God for that. You know, because it seems that so much, that's one of the things I've always appreciated about Rhema and this ministry, is that they stayed true to what the message that God has given this ministry and all of us as we partake of it, the part of the family of God that God's put us in. Well, tonight, I want to briefly travel the pages of the New Testament a little bit and look at that last point. Jesus is coming again. Now, I'm not here to tell you when. I'm not here to, you know, put a date. I wish you all, please put dates out there. Please stop that, because the Lord said no man knows the day or the hour. So every time you predict a day, it has to be a different day. Otherwise, you could say you were right. So don't. We're not here to predict days, but the return of Christ is mentioned more than 300 times in the New Testament. That means if you average it out, about once every 25 verses. Sometimes more than others, obviously. Paul mentions it about 50 times in his writings. The whole book, you know, whole books, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, the book of Revelation, whole chapter, Matthew 24, 25, Mark chapter 13, Luke chapter 21, are devoted to the subject of Jesus coming again. I was looking at preparing for this, and I remembered I wanted to see, and so I just wrote it out, what it said, the Rhema Bible Church statement of faith, if you will, or belief page that's available. It's on our webpage, the Rhema Bible Church .com webpage. It says, concerning the resurrection of the just and the return of the Lord, the angel said to Jesus' disciples, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. I'm going to read that. We'll read that in the Word of God in just a minute. But I want to read this. His coming is imminent. When he comes, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now let's read the two verses that that statement's based on. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. We're just going to remind ourselves. Sometimes, you know, somebody said, live like he's coming back tomorrow, but work like he's never coming back. You know what I mean? But, you know, we need to live in the reality. And I think we'll see tonight, by the time we get done here in our brief time together, that living with the reality that Jesus is coming back is going to have an effect on our life today. It's going to mean something to us. Now here in Acts chapter 1, verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken from you into heaven, so shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Praise the Lord. So there's the promise right there. Now look over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You know, this verse is rightly so. It's quoted and read at memorial services, funerals, and that type of thing. And that's good, and it needs to be, because it is a scripture that's given for our comfort. But it's also given to encourage us and to edify us and to exhort us. Hallelujah. Here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I want to begin in verse 13. We'll read to the end of the chapter here. He said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, King James says, concerning those who have died, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now, he didn't say you're not sorrowful. He just said you don't do it as others do that have no hope. We have a hope. Isn't that right? We'll see that in just a little bit too. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, how many believers we got in here? So he's talking to us. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Then going on in our statement of faith, this statement is made: following the tribulation, he shall return to earth as King of kings and Lord of lords. And together with his saints, who shall be kings and priests, he shall reign 1,000 years. Let's look at Revelation chapter 5. Every time I read this, I'm reminded that Jesus told John, whoever reads the words of this prophecy shall be blessed. So you ready? You ready to be blessed?
Yes.
Amen. Revelation chapter 5. Now this is the church is in heaven, standing before the Lamb. And we're listening to the 24 elders as they sing and talking about his vision there. And this is what's happening in heaven. In verse 10 it says, in their statement says, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. You know, during that 1,000-year period of the millennial reign of Christ on earth, we're going to reign with him. He's made us kings and priests. Look at chapter 20. Chapter 20. Of Revelation. Verse 6. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, at the rapture, at the catching away of the church, Jesus returns for his saints. At his revelation, when he comes after the tribulation, he's coming back with his saints. And there's a difference there. No matter when you put the rapture of the church, it's coming for us. At this other is when he comes to set up his kingdom on the earth, we come with him. So the rapture, he takes us. The revelation of that really is the second coming, if you will, to the earth, he brings us with him. All right? Now, let's look at John 14. What did Jesus say here? John chapter 14. Our main point tonight is Jesus is coming again, all right? Hallelujah. And, you know, there are a lot of things we're not going to get into them tonight, but boy, there are so many prophecies that are being fulfilled. And that day is coming. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But I know this, and those of you that have the privilege of even, you know, you don't have to travel around the world to find lost people. They're right here in Broken Arrow, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Tulsa County. Isn't that right? But I'm telling you, Jesus died for them, and we need to get the message out to them. Amen? So there's still a lot of work to do, but I think it's going to be a quick work. I think it's going to be a supernatural work, and it's going to involve you and I, everyone getting in our place. Now here in John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Well, if we had nothing else to go on than that verse, we'd know Jesus is coming back. Right? He lived a sinless life. That means he never lied. Glory to God, Jesus is coming back. Well, in the New Testament, we as Christians, we're the believers described as those who are waiting for the coming of the Lord. Let's go back and look at, let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let's look at this verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We are waiting. Now, waiting doesn't mean inactivity. We're not sleeping waiting for the return of the Lord. We're waiting as in we're occupying till he comes. We're about the Father's business. But he says here in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 9 and 10, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. See, they turn from God, they turn from idols to serve the true and living God. And what are they doing now? They're waiting for his son to come from heaven. They're waiting for Jesus. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 now. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Praise the Lord. Just reminding ourselves, not saying anything new tonight, just want to remind us, because we preach, you know, Jesus saves, Jesus heals. We need to keep continually feed our faith on the fact of the salvation that we have received. Feed our faith in healing. But we also need to be in faith concerning his coming again. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 7. Paul said here, he said, he's talking about he wants to come to them so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here Paul told the Corinthians, we're waiting for his coming. Now look what James said in James chapter 5. I'm gonna let the scriptures do the most of the talking here tonight. Is that all right? You know, I tell young preachers, if you just learn how to read the word of God with a little bit of oomph to it, you can preach good sermons just reading scriptures. These are pretty good sermons that are in here. Amen. Any of you have the Bible on audio or something like that? You ever notice they just don't read it monotone? Have you ever noticed that? It's just not, you know, and the Lord said. You know, they add some, a little bit to it. All right, here, James 5, look at verse 7. Be patient, therefore, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. Well, that scripture there also answers why he hasn't come back, because the Lord is waiting. He's waiting for the harvest to be fully gathered in. And when that takes place, he's coming back. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, the rapture, when's it going to take place? I don't know. You know, there's all kinds of different things. I just know this. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gone. Okay? I heard one guy say one time, when I hear the trumpet toot, I'm going to scoot. So just be ready. But you have to live in readiness, because readiness is going to have an effect on your life. Now, the return of the Lord is primary to the celebration of the Lord's table. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, you've heard Pastor Hagin quote this scripture. Every time we get ready to take the Lord's table, sometimes even preach from this section of scripture. First Sunday morning every month. And we've read this, but notice what it says here in verse 26. 1 Corinthians 11 and 26. It says, for often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death till he come. Thank God Jesus died for us. But you know, part just as much a part of our redemption is he's coming back again. Glory to God. We're showing it forth. Why? When we partake of that bread and drink that cup, we're standing as a testimony that yes, Jesus died. Yes, his body was broken for us. Yes, his blood was shed for us. But he rose again. He's alive today. And we're living testimony that he's coming back again. Hallelujah. Now, the hope of Jesus coming again provides motivation for our practical Christian life. I want to look at six things here real briefly that it gives us motivation to do. First of all is to walk in brotherly love. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. The fact that Jesus is coming back is a motivator for us. It's a motivator. Now you're a Christian, praise the Lord. You're already born again, but yet you didn't get born again just to live like the devil, right? You got born again to live like Jesus. And the fact that he's coming back motivates us, helps us to do certain things. And we're going to see it here from the Word of God. Here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Amen. I heard a preacher say this one time. He said, Jesus isn't coming back for an unholy bride. Praise the Lord. We're going to be dressed in pure white, folks. Amen. Well, it's not my job to make sure it's my job to make me. It motivates me. Now, he says there, even at the coming of our Lord. Now, he mentions holiness. That's our second thing that the coming of Christ does. It motivates us to holiness. Look at 1 John chapter 3. Holiness here. Let's talk about that the idea of purity of life. Purity of life. 1 John 3, we'll read the first three verses of the chapter. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. I mean, can you really describe it? It's almost beyond description, isn't it? That we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And that's our position in Christ, not our gender. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope what? That we're going to see him again. He could have said that when he comes again, when we see him again, we have this hope in us that in him purifies himself even as he is pure. You see, Jesus is coming back. You know, old time Pentecost, now I didn't hear this in the church I grew up in, but when I got around Pentecostal folks, they're always talking about living right because you never know, Jesus might come back right now. And you don't want to be caught living wrong when Jesus comes back, you know. And, you know, whatever side of that you're on, there's nothing wrong with living right. Some people, just live right. What's wrong with that? You ought never get yourself, don't ever find yourself siding against living a pure life, no matter what it is. Amen. Well, here's one that Jesus coming back motivates us to do. It motivates us to attend church. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I've always kind of thought, you know, I really don't want to be asleep at night. I hope Jesus comes back when I'm awake. That's what I'm thinking, you know. Not that it matter. I guess I'd wake up, but you know, I don't think that's an alarm I could actually sleep through. But anyway, glory to God. I tell you what, I was looking east on the way to church this morning. I was looking east where that sunrise was coming up, and it was peeking over those clouds. I thought, dear God, you know. Because, you know, east is where Jesus ascended the heavens east from us now. And I thought, man, I don't know if it's going to look like that, but it's sure going to look good whenever he does come back. Verse 24, Hebrews 10. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, I know it seems like, you know, our trend right now is to have less church services, and yet he says, be careful. As you see that day approaching, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as some have gotten in the manner of doing. Amen. You know, it used to be, I mean, I can remember back when I got saved June 30th, 1980, so it's been 35 years now. I remember, you know, I grew up in a denominational church, and you know nobody got there early. You tried to be late so you could sit, but if you got there, I mean, you tried. The early people sat in the back; the late people had to sit up front. But it came over among, you know, the Word of Faith and charismatic folks. You go to a meeting, and I'm telling you what, people get their hours ahead of time, you know, and stand outside, no matter how hot or cold it was, what the weather was, and bless those ushers' heart when that door opened, it was a stampede. How many of you remember that? And I mean, people would, they'd come in with their Bibles and their notebooks and they'd be slinging them, trying to get them to land on a chair to save the seat. And it was, you know, why? People were hungry. Because, you know, and even 35 years ago, even at that time, I think I was hearing more about Jesus is coming again than I am today. And we're closer now than we were then. Hallelujah. I mean, thinking about Jesus coming back puts a hunger in me, wants me to be around the people of God. Hallelujah. Now, here's another one. It motivates me to Christian service. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, I know you're here on Sunday night, so that, you know, about church attendance, kind of preaching to the choir. But you take that and remind yourself, you know, keep yourself. And he said, encourage one another. Hey, I missed you at church. I missed you. You know, because, you know, sometimes the pastoral staff or people, they don't always see, but you see people. You know. How many realize people are creatures of habit? They sit about the same place or in the same area about every Sunday, don't they? How many of you are that way? You like a certain place? I know when we moved here in February of 2000, I mean, we've sat right back over. I mean, it seemed like every, we sat back over there, or we were in the, I love the balcony. I don't know about any of you, but I like the balcony. And my wife's not so much, but I'm a balcony person. I like it. But it seems like we sit in the same, you know, about the same place all the time. Well, if you see people around you that aren't there, encourage them. Find out where they are. Say, hey, what's happened to you? We missed you. Hallelujah. Now here, 2 Timothy 4, verse 1 and 2. I charge you, therefore, before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now here he's talking to Timothy, but see, that was Timothy was called to preach. No matter whatever you're called to preach, as the day of his appearing and his kingdom is coming. And so whatever it is, be about whatever God called you to do. If it's preach the word, preach the word. If it's park cars, park cars. If it's scrub toilets, scrub toilets. Amen? I mean, I'll be honest with you, most folks that I've found out that really anywhere in ministry, they've scrubbed a few toilets in their day at the church. I'm not talking about just at home. Amen. Hallelujah. Just do it. And I mean, I've mowed carpet. That's what we used to call it, mowed carpet. I've mopped floors, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, pastor's talked about how many he tarred roofs. He poured concrete. Then he's saying he had tent revivals all summer, right? He's talking about Brother Tipton always had those tent revivals. All right. Number five, it gives us a passion for souls. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm telling you what, Jesus is coming back. And the only thing we're taking with us are the men and women that we bring out of, that we rescue out of the pit of hell. Glory to God. With the message of the gospel. Here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verse 19 and 20. For what is our hope? Or joy, or crown of rejoicing. Now, Paul's talking to them. Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and our joy. He said, what's going to be more glorious? What's going to bring us joy? That when Jesus comes back again, you're present. Hallelujah. It's going to be a glorious time. Jesus is going to be glorified and lifted up. It's going to be a joyous time when he comes back, but you don't want to go without people, right? Now, you know, we just talked about this in class this last week. I was talking to the second year group in ministerial ethics and ministerial excellence class, talking about don't win the world and lose your family. Be a good parent, be a good father, be a good mother. Win your family to the Lord. Live in such a way that they want to know. I heard Pastor. I heard when I was a student. I heard the stories. I've heard him tell it since. I don't want to be like one of those said that he knew these kids that their parents were pastors. They won't have anything to do with the Lord now because of how they lived and what that was like at home. I don't want that. I'd rather you know understand what I'm saying. Hallelujah. Bring your family with you. Glory to God, and then bring others with you too. Well, a passion for souls. And then finally with this, it gives us a blessed hope. Look at Titus chapter 2. A blessed hope. Hope is a confident expectation of impending good. You don't ever hope. You know, hope is never associated with bad. Hope is always associated with good, and there's joy involved with it. Here in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, we're just going to jump right in there for time's sake. It says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You remember in John, he says, whoever has this hope in him, what kind of hope in it is it? It's a blessed hope. It's a great thing. I mean, it doesn't matter how great and how good it gets here. What's in front of us is far better. When Jesus comes back at his coming, he's going to catch us away to something better. When he sets up his kingdom on earth, it's going to be better. At the end of that 1,000 years, when Satan's forever put in that pit, glory to God, I want to be there cheering. I don't know about you. Amen. I want to watch that take place. It's going to an eternity. We don't have words to describe what eternity is going to be like. Well, the coming of the Lord is so important that the Lord himself declared it in the final chapter of the New Testament. Let's finish up with that tonight. Revelation chapter 22. It's so important that we know about this. that this is the final words of Jesus that are recorded in our New Testament. The final admonition to us here in Revelation chapter 22. And I'm going to begin in verse number 12. Jesus is speaking here and he said, "Behold, I come quickly." Now, you know, sometimes God's definition of words is different than yours and mine. You know, if I say, "Hey, do that quickly," I mean now. But his, you know, God is timeless. That's like, you know, we read, "And suddenly," well, it wasn't suddenly to God. Didn't surprise you. And this quickly is the same way. It's going to happen exact at the right moment. But he says, "I come quickly." That means live in a way that prepares me for that. "And my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and makes a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let him that hears say, 'Come.' And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add to these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifies these things says, 'Surely I come quickly.' Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Amen. He's coming quickly. And thank God he's given us not just saving grace, but he's given us his grace to live this life until he does come quickly. Amen? Hallelujah. Jesus is coming again. And so just as we live in the reality of our salvation and who we are in Christ and the great, what we've been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, just as we live in revelation and the faith that by his stripes we're healed and believers will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, anoint the call for the elders of the church, let them anoint you with oil and the prayer of faith shall save the sick and the Lord shall raise him up. Just as we live in reality of that whatsoever you ask of the Lord in my name, he will do it. We should live in the reality that Jesus is coming back again. Now, we don't know the day or the hour, but we live like it's tomorrow and work like it's tomorrow. And let these things, let that reality spur us to brotherly love, to holiness, to fellowship and church attendance together, to Christian service, for passion for souls, and in this blessed hope. And let us say with John, even so, Lord, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand up on our feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Just thank him. Just begin to thank him. We thank you, Father. We thank you for your word. We thank you for what Jesus accomplished the first time he came, but he's not done yet with us. Thank you. He's coming back again. Hallelujah. 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 Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy are you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I used to hear Bill Gaither say this when they were going to sing that song, "The King is Coming." He'd start out and he'd say, when Jesus came the first time, Not very many people took notice of it. But when he comes back the second time as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, there won't be one person that misses it. It's going to be revealed to everybody. Amen. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands. Just thank him. Jesus, you are King of Kings and you are Lord of Lords. And we look for your return. Thank you for your grace that you've given us to live this life until you get here. We thank you for it, Lord, we give you all the praise and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Marvin, do we have some first-time guests here tonight? First-time guests with our connection team, please find those folks. Please take them to that place. On behalf of Pastor and Mrs. Hagen and the rest of the church, we have a special gift prepared for you there. Thank you for coming. Give them a big hand, folks, as they go to that place. If you're here in town, come on back Sunday morning. is at 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock, School of the Bible Course, 6 o'clock, Sunday nights, Wednesday night, Hour of Power at 7 o'clock. Be here, and they'll give you all that information. If you're here tonight, and you're not ready for the coming of the Lord, maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He needs to come and live in you by His Spirit first. He's coming back to take us. It's a literal catching away. He's literally coming back. But He's coming back for His family. And you need to be part of His family. Don't leave here tonight without becoming part of the family of God. You say, well, how do I do that? The Bible says if you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, in other words, that He's alive, and you say with your mouth that He is Lord, then you will be saved. Now, how are you going to do that tonight? I'm going to ask you to come on down here. If you're a lady, come on to one of these ladies. If you're a man, you come over to one of these men. And you are and talk to them. They'll pray with you. They'll pray with you. And you won't leave here like you came. In Jesus' name. Amen. You want prayer for anything. Anything at all. You come down here. I know they'll pray with you according to the Word of God. Why is that so important? That's where the answer is. It's in God's Word. All right. Everything good? We're good. Don't forget all the announcements. Get yourself a paper bulletin. Shake hands with several folks. Let them know you love them in the love of the Lord, and you can be dismissed. Amen. God bless you.